CM Punk has made it super clear that he is going to win the Royal Rumble, but he also named some other big names that are going to be part of that match. And we're going to talk about who's going to come out on top at the end of the month in the Royal Rumble match. What's up, people? It's your boy Mex, the WrestleManiac, if you will. Back again for another installment of The E alongside my co-host.
Enough, Fortress Professional, formerly known as the VHS Pappy. I think you know us by now, but yeah. The E podcast, man.
Yeah, we're back again, man. And we got a really good reception last week from
the
first episode of the E. So big up everyone that tuned in live or listened back on the audio version and that. Like we said, every Tuesday, 9 p.m. UK time, we'll be here chopping up the latest happenings in WWE. And obviously, right now, we're in the thick of Royal Rumble season. The show, you know, the first topic we're going to talk about is off the back of this past week's Monday Night Raw. Drew McIntyre kind of coming out, giving his synopsis of how he's getting in his own head. He's obviously teased as well. I might just have to step away from all of this, which obviously we know his contract situation come April, I think it is. He's out of contract, so maybe playing into that a little bit. And then he's calling out, making jokes at CM Punk's expense, saying that maybe I should go away for 9 years, and everyone's gonna, you know, be revered by everybody and all that kind of stuff. CM Punk wastes no time. He comes out. He says, anything you got to say, say it to my face. And these two have a really interesting back and forth. Even like back in the day, I can't think of like, you know, seeing Drew and Punk on screen together. So
I think that guy that account BWE dropped a picture of Punk and Drew back in the day walking down the ramp. I'm not sure what it was for. I can't really remember offhead, but yeah, it is a weird. It's something that you wouldn't imagine, and it is great. Yeah. I'm here for it. Like the fact that both of them stepped in the ring yesterday. We saw CM Punk. Actually, let me know if you get ahead of yourself. Yeah, Mex, do your thing.
Nah, bro. Yeah. It's just where we are. Like we obviously saw. Drew McIntyre, obviously, he's talking still about his need to win this. It's a necessity to become world champion for him. Punk is very clear that, like I say, he's going to win the world champion. And he said, you know, no one's going to stop me. You're not going to stop me. Cody ain't going to stop me. Like, he's named all the top guns that's going to be in this matchup. Yeah, the big guns. And he's adamant that this is what he's on. So, I mean, my first question to you is, are you with Punk? Are you in the Punk camp? Do you think that CM Punk is going to win the Royal Rumble?
Bro, I've been on the train since CM Punk showed up at Survivor Series. I just think it's great that we're just getting promos for him yet, just stating what he wants, innit? The fact that him and Drew even stood face to face yesterday was even a great moment in itself. I was actually scared for Drew. Because there was a facial change, like a facial expression change when Punk walked in. I'm like, oh, bro, this guy's about to get cooked. Obviously, Drew stood in it and literally stood his ground and literally told man, like, yo, you're not even an OG no more. I'm the OG. You're the little kid to me now, which was great. He turned the tables around. So, I think I think Punk could definitely win the Royal Rumble. I've always said Punk is the guy to win the Royal Rumble. Put him in a match against Seth. I think Punk and Roman doesn't make sense right now because obviously Cody is there, but I think Punk and Seth is the match that Hunter has to book. Otherwise, what's the point? He's not beating Roman Reigns. He's not beating Roman Reigns at all. So yeah, he should forget that one. But
who's not?
Yeah, man. What did you think yesterday? Punk is not beating Roman, bro. It doesn't make sense. If that ever happens, sabotage.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe the same. Like, I don't know how they plan to kind of do this, because right now, even from the Seth stuff, I really think Drew is deserving of. I guess he's getting a push. He's on TV. He's you know, in the big stories. I really think Drew is deserving of something, and we know it's a very clogged scene right now. Like CM Punk there. Cody's not chasing this particular title. He wants the other one. But, you know, Rollins doesn't look like he's slowing down anytime soon. There's just a lot of names here. Does CM Punk win the Royal Rumble? Is that the right move? I think do it. I think do it. Him and Rollins have come together. They've had their war of words. Rollins has said, you know, I'll put you to bed basically if you come after me, sort of thing. Even so much so on this show, we'll get to Rollins' promo on the show when he said, you know, who should I defend the belt against? And the crowd started screaming CM Punk, and he just said, yeah, he'll be lucky, or he said something like that. We're laying all the foundations to get to this point, innit? Like, Rollins has of recent times also kind of ascended to this position where he gets to get the first go at all of these big stars coming into the company and things like that. He got Logan. Oh, he got Cody Rhodes. You know, CM Punk will be, I guess, the next one in line. CM Punk wants to fulfill main event in a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Let him win the Rumble. That's another thing he hasn't done. Let him get that, you know, night one, him and Rollins, because I think Rollins also deserves to main event at WrestleMania with all the work he's put in over the years. Let them have a really good match, because I think that's what we'll get. And I say let Rollins retain. CM Punk doesn't have to win here for me, per se. I think he should win this title somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
But I don't think he needs it now.
Yeah, I don't.
And then, yeah, Rollins retains.
Yeah, I think give him the Rumble match, give him the main event. Rollins, but this is it. This is what it will boil down to. I definitely feel like this should be the, or what I call it, the platform. Obviously, if Seth does have this match against CM Punk at Mania, this should be the platform where Seth basically beats Punk and Damian cashes in. This is
at WrestleMania.
Yes, this should be it. This should be it for Damian to cash in. It's a big moment. He's worked hard the whole of last year, having his match with Bad Bunny, being on the sideline, getting thrown around with these briefcase here and there. This should be his successful cash-in moment. And I don't know if Damian and CM Punk or Judgment Day feud in the future, then I'm here for it. But I feel like WrestleMania should be the moment where Damian cashes in at the end of the Seth Rollins and Punk match. Main event, by the way. Main event. Not any second, third match. It should be the main event of WrestleMania night one. And yeah, that's how we get it.
I think I'm here for a successful cash-in. I want Damian Priest to cash in. I don't need it at WrestleMania.
We think I
think Raw after Mania. Like, we need to punctuate that show as well, remember?
Can I
need
say
something big.
I feel like Raw after Mania hasn't been good in the last, say, 2-3 years. I haven't actually... The last
You're correct, Raw, but it hasn't been Triple H's Raw after Mania.
True. The last Raw after Mania we got was Vince was still there. And we also got
Vince came back. Remember, Vince came back. He put Omos on the WrestleMania card. He stuck around from WrestleMania. Raw after Mania. He was there, unfortunately, even though Triple H was running the roost. Yeah. So, yeah, I think I don't think Priest needs it. I told you, I'm working on a video about Priest and this briefcase right now.
Yeah.
And I genuinely don't think they're doing him any favors. That's a spoiler for the video. I don't think that all these failed cash-ins, he's looking Austin Theory-ish, bro. Mm-hmm. And like you, I want him to cash in. I want him to be successful. But
wouldn't, with all the failed cash-ins and all that sort of stuff, wouldn't WrestleMania be the biggest, the biggest icing on the cake for him then? Because giving him a Raw cash-in, it's just the same thing. Like, it's not really as grandioso as it can be. And then again, he has gotten to July. And the best time to activate this is in April, which is WrestleMania. Just do it then, rather than doing it on a Raw where no one... Like, I'll be honest with you, I can't lie. After last year, I'm not really looking forward to a Raw after Mania. I'm looking at Mania. Everything has to happen at Mania. There has to be a new season at Mania.
This is the problem. We talked about this at the podcast the other day. Not everything needs to happen at Mania.
But explode it all. Let it all out. Let it all out. I feel like we need that. Because, he's worked hard last year. Give him his moment, man. Mania's the best time to do it.
He has. But, like, I feel like right now they're just making him a bit clownish with the failed attempts and stuff. I would have liked, especially because of Judgment Day, he's a bit more ominous. Like, he comes out at all these events and stuff. His music plays. Everyone's like, oh, my God, it's going to happen. But he's just like, he's got the briefcase ringside and he's just watching. And maybe he steps to go and do it, and then he steps back and steps to go and do it. And like, he never indulges in all of this. I hold one side of the briefcase, the referee holds the other side. Yes, I want to cash in. And then it never happens. Like, it just seems a bit too cartoonish. I think he should have kind of, even, I know this is all Sting's gimmick, but like just in the rafters, just kind of watching. Like almost make us to a point forget he's got this briefcase. And then when he strikes, if they had done it like that, and then he struck at WrestleMania, then I think, okay, cool, it can happen at Mania. Mm. But right now it's just a bit, it's just a bit cartoonish. And I don't feel like I want anything to ever replicate Seth's cashing at Mania.
I get you.
That was a moment. It's world class. Yeah. That can't happen again.
But I think it was only a moment because it was against Brock. It was like against two of the biggest stars at the time, Brock and Roman.
For me, right? I mean, that's one point. But for me, it's the camera angle that caught him running. Bro, you're a cinema guy.
Epic.
Cinema. That is world class.
Even the title dude.
Even afterwards, it can't be replicated. It's not gonna ever feel the same unless they do some other thing where it's like a drone shot and just zooming out, seeing the whole stadium and he's running. Like they have to really do it differently to capture it differently. And I think Raw after Mania needs to be punctuated. I think we said as well, run it down towards when Money in the Bank this year is going to happen. So it's like, oh, it's going to expire. We haven't seen anything like that before.
So what's the paper before Money in the Bank again?
They got Backlash. I think it's Backlash and then Money in the Bank.
Backlash is in France.
Yeah.
Best time to do it? I don't know, man.
If they want to make it unique, that's one way to do it. We have never seen anyone come close to expiration and they're panicking. They need to do it.
So, to be fair, that
would work with how they've treated him so far with the briefcase. Like, he just doesn't know when to do it. His time's running out, this, that, and the other. Judgment Day telling him, do it now. He's like, no, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I think that could be cool.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm still leaning towards a WrestleMania, man. Look, WrestleMania should be always full of surprises. It should be that whole spectacle. It should be the whole... And I believe doing it against Seth, the man that actually done it best, I don't know. Let's see what happens, man. I'm in for the ride. But he needs to do it properly. That's all. And this whole, like you said, the whole failed cash-ins and all that stuff, him looking like a doofus and that, it shouldn't have happened. It's Damian Priest at the end of the day. We should make Damian Priest have this sort of, like, thing where it's like, I do it when I want to do it. Because the last... Yeah. Imagine if Edge got treated like that. Imagine if Punk got treated like that. Who else won the Money in the Bank that did... I don't know. Who else won Money in the Bank? I'm trying to think.
Actually cashed in successfully.
No, as in had a Money in the Bank contract, but for the whole tenure, like he there was no failed cash-ins. He wasn't running in doing a dumbness and that sort of stuff. It was just straight cashing in and I've got the title.
Apart from people like Kane. Kane cashed in same night.
That's Kane. That's Kane, yeah.
Ambrose cashed in same night.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
So yeah, like Ambrose was really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult, man. They've got a lot. We're going to come back to this whole world title picture in just a second. Big up everyone that's watching live. Make sure you've hit the like button and subscribe if you're new to Rest Things. Jimmy says Punk might as well in regards to win the Rumble. There's no one else. Gloddy says Cody winning the Rumble 2 times in a row stinks. Yeah, I'm with that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy also says WrestleMania ending with Damian Priest as world champion is not cinema.
Bro, you'd be surprised, fam. If you're in that audience, you'd want to see it. You'd want to see it.
Priest 2, Backlash, cash in. We will be there in France. That's a good way for that. Ola CWH, he said, if Damian cashed in on Cody to ruin the story, I would laugh.
No. You can't have that. That's a vio, fam. That's a big vio.
We got Navy. He says, Otis won Money in the Bank, remember?
Yeah, but obviously lost it to Miz.
He lost it, yeah.
They went caught.
Yeah. Interesting one. Let's talk about, I guess, this world title picture in a bit more depth. Seth, like we said, came out. He was talking about, he wants to walk into Mania as champion, which he pretty much will do at this point. We're close enough. He said, who's he going to face? Like I said earlier, the crowd was screaming CM Punk. He laughed it off. And then Jinder Mahal came out. Jinder basically saying that, he's being overlooked, this, that, and the other. He needs opportunity. Seth said, we have overlooked you because we're not trying to look at you. We're not trying to see you and all that kind of thing. Seth goaded Jinder into hitting him. The minute Seth Rollins turned around, Jinder attacked him. They had a bit of a brawl. We've now found out that next week on Raw, Seth Rollins versus Jinder Mahal for the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, I'm going to say something that sounds wild.
Okay, how wild is it? Be careful because we're live.
I'm going to say something that sounds wild. It's clean, don't worry. All
right, cool.
And I'm only saying this because we still have a looming Drew McIntyre in the story. Is there any way Jinder wins this title next week? Yeah, exactly. With Drew McIntyre, there's history there, 3MB. Drew McIntyre clearly can't beat Seth Rollins, but if he kind of sneaks away through Jinder Mahal, if Jinder becomes champion. And yes, it was a different time. It was a different regime. But I don't think we can completely poo-poo this because we've literally seen Jinder Mahal become world champion by beating Randy Orton. What do you think?
Bro, I don't know. That's scary. That's risky business, man. That is risky business, bro. Like, Jinder winning on a random Monday Night Raw. I don't know if that sits in me well. But, brother, I don't know, man. It makes sense. The way you framed it makes sense. Like, of the whole three-man ban and all that. It makes sense. But, bro, if Jinder wins, crazy. Because that now shakes up everything. Because no one's actually trying to go out for Jinder. Everyone wants Seth. CM Punk wants Seth. Drew wants Seth. If Jinder now takes the title from him, but we are getting a different Seth. Seth is going to do whatever it takes to get that title back. He's going to even try and enter the Royal Rumble himself. Yeah. But who knows, man? It's crazy. But if he does win, bro, historic. Historic.
It's going to give a reaction, that's for sure.
Yeah.
People are really going to speak their mind. People short term probably lose faith in Triple H if they dared to do that. It's not what the people are going to want at all. But I think, don't upset the people. Let Seth just retain. I don't think Seth has a title match at Royal Rumble. So I think this is almost like a stopgap for him. I think this is just something for Seth Rollins to do to, you know, stay busy because he ain't got a match at the Royal Rumble. So they give him a defense here. Maybe they give him a defense on the other side of the Rumble, the week after the Rumble or something like that. Or of course, by then he will know who won the Rumble. And then, you know, there could be some type of altercation between who wins the Rumble and Seth Rollins. But yeah, the Jinder thing is there. We have seen it happen before. So I don't think we can necessarily discount it.
Yeah. I'm there for it, though. I'm there for it.
You're here for what?
I feel like you've twanged me still. You've twanged me. Because if it does happen, bro, I'll lose my head.
Let's pick up on the live chat. Navy says, man, I can't lie. Jinder is cooking on the mic against The Rock and against Rollins.
Yeah.
Jinder's good. He's a good worker, man. Like, just on a whole basic level, if you want to put it down to that. He's someone clearly they can trust in decent spots. Derek says, if Jinder wins, I'll be there. I know he's a Jinder fan.
Yeah, Dale's a big Jinder fan.
Jimmy says, I'm so sorry. Jinder Mahal can't win the title again. He said, Mex, you keep tricking yourself by saying Seth can lose. Why do you do this to yourself? I'm not tricking myself. I'm just posing situations. Just posing the situations. Derek says, everyone better learn how to say new world champion in Punjabi.
That's hilarious. Right.
It's there. It's a possibility. It's a possibility.
Yeah.
I would say the one other big angle that took part on Raw this past week was Nia Jax in the ring having a conversation with Michael Cole. And Michael Cole is basically, you know, saying that, you know, was it by luck or anything? Nia's putting herself over big, that, you know, she beat Becky Lynch and now she's going to go on to win the Rumble and face either Io Sky or Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley's music hits. The crowd goes mental. This woman is a superstar, bro.
Yep.
Rhea Ripley comes out and she basically says, look, I like what you did. You beat Becky Lynch. You surprised us all. Congrats. Well done. But, you know, keep my name out of your mouth sort of thing. Like, you're not ready to come over here for my title. If you win, basically go after EO or whatever the case is. And Nia Jax said that, you know, obviously, sort of like, I acknowledge how good you are and how much good work you've done with that title. But she also put herself over in the face of Rhea Ripley, didn't back down, didn't show any fear, and said that, you know, I might just come after you sort of thing, which kind of left a bit of a puzzled look on Rhea Ripley's face. They've built up Nia big. I think they've done a really good job kind of rebuilding Nia. She looks better, like in ring, like she's definitely moving better. Looks like she's learned a few things in her time away. I think they probably do this at the Royal Rumble as opposed to Nia going in the Royal Rumble unless she loses this match. Do you think this is a Royal Rumble match, or do you think Nia is a contender to actually win the Women's Rumble?
Knowing how Nia Jax is, or how she's been in the Royal Rumble, I feel like Royal Rumble is her domain. Royal Rumble is where she shows off. We saw what she's done in the Men's Royal Rumble, where she attacks R-Truth. So I can imagine her being in a match with Rhea. Then she loses the match. Then on the women's match, Royal Rumble, she then attacks someone back saying, he goes, I am now entering this Rumble to get back at Rhea. You see, I can imagine her doing something like that. And I think that would be possibly be cool. But I definitely think she's going to enter the Rumble.
Yeah.
Because she did say that, I'm going to enter the Rumble and I'm going to get you. So I think...
Yeah, I like your idea. I like the fact of maybe her having the Rumble match with Rhea. So a singles match. Rhea beats her on the night. Because I think it's important to give Rhea a big win on a platform like the Royal Rumble. Literally physically big win, beating Nia Jax, who they've built up pretty well, like we said. And then I like your point that backstage, Nia jumps somebody to basically get into the Rumble to get a second chance to get back at Rhea, and then maybe she could just go out in the Rumble or whatever the case is. Who's your early prediction to win the Women's Rumble?
Hey, this one, yeah. I'm edging towards Bayley. But if not Bayley, I don't know, maybe Nia Jax, bruv. I feel like Nia Jax seems like a person that can actually defeat. Okay, look, I'll say this. If it's Bayley, she's going to have the match at Rio Sky. And that's when we'll probably get Mercedes Moné or Sasha Banks coming. If it's Nia Jax is getting straight for Rhea Ripley. And I think that's when we can get the... There's nobody left, but Nia Jax is here to come in. Do you know what I mean? Nia Jax is the person that's gonna go, yeah, and win that title and beat Rhea Ripley. I think she's Rhea Ripley's kryptonite for sure. Have you seen this matchup yet?
Who? What matchup?
Have you ever seen a match between? Has there ever been a match between Rhea Ripley and Nia Jax?
They may have been on main roster, definitely not in NXT, but they may have been on main roster in Nia's first run. But yeah, not in this iteration where Nia Jax is so sure of herself and, you know, like we just said, improved in the ring. Rhea Ripley, absolute star. Like it's crazy. So yeah, even if they have faced each other in previous years, like this is going to be something different, I imagine. Bayley is my pick as well. There's other, you know, the likes of Mercedes, we're still trying to find out her future. That could be a long shot. Trinity, which we're expecting to return. They could give her a big return, big win there. Who knows? Becky Lynch, I think you've got to throw her name in. She's not doing much of anything right now. But she might find another way to get to a championship match at WrestleMania. So, yeah. Some good stuff there happening on Raw. Let's turn our attention over to SmackDown.
Oh, SmackDown was great this week. And also, can we slightly, I know obviously NXT has happened. Can we slightly talk about that match at NXT with LWO and Drew Gulak, Gable Stevens' brother, and the other guy looks like Randy Orton, and what was it?
NXT.
Yeah, there was a tag
Miles something.
Yeah. There was a three-way tag team match. And I can't lie, what's this guy called? I forgot this guy. What's this guy called again? It's probably LWO.
The jump that he done. Yeah, Wacky Wild.
Did you watch the whole match? The Wacky Wild? He was moving mad. Wild was moving mad. Man was doing flips out the ring. He was like, that was his WrestleMania, fam. Maybe, I don't know. Guys, tell me in the chat. Is Wacky Wild always like this? Because the stuff he was doing in ring was crazy. Like, he was moving mad. And obviously, Carlito was over. The fans were loving the Carlito. When they heard Carlito come out, they were going crazy. But NXT seemed good. I don't know if you watched it. Did you check it out?
I watched it. It was a good show. I'm trying to remember what it was.
Dragunov and Trick match didn't happen because
It didn't happen.
Dragunov got attacked backstage or something happened to him backstage.
I'm beginning to feel like they are dragging out the Carmelo whodunit Carmelo storyline a bit. So I think they need to kind of punctuate that soon.
It's bait that is. Let's be honest. It's bait that is Carmelo because the stuff that Carmelo has been doing, putting him to matches randomly and that sort of stuff. Like, it's bait, man.
But NXT is always a good watch. So we'll see what happens this weekend. See if we can bring anything else to talk about. SmackDown. Big story on SmackDown. We're gonna have this triple threat match: Randy Orton versus LA Knight versus AJ Styles. The winner gets Roman Reigns at Royal Rumble. LA Knight got busted open hard way. This was a really good match. I didn't expect this match to be this good. It was so fun. It was so quick paced. The spots that the likes of AJ Styles, LA Knight was doing to stop the referees count, perfectly legal in, I guess, a triple threat match and stuff. Really good. All men are down from, you know, this fight they're having. Bloodline, Roman's music hits, they've come in, Roman's just sent Solo one way, sent Jimmy the other way. They think they could scatter this match and nothing's gonna happen, like beat up everyone. And you know, you just see they pan to the commentary table and Nick Aldis, GM, is there just watching all the chaos take place. They pan back to the ring. Nick Aldis, I think this was shot really well. Nick Aldis is walking around to Paul Heyman. Heyman's very, you know, jovial, thinks, yeah, we've done them here, sort of thing. And he just tells him, Roman thinks he's smart. You can see Roman in the back holding his belts like, oh yeah, like I'm the best, sort of thing. Like, and he's just basically telling him off mic that, because Roman done this, it's going to be a fatal four-way at WrestleMania, Royal Rumble. What did you think of this segment?
Listen, when I was watching it, I was like, this is how you end a show. It felt like, you see when you watch a TV series, you're watching something like The Wire, you're watching something like Breaking Bad, you're watching something like How to Get Away with Murder. Yeah. There's little scenes in these series that you see where two of the characters, if they knew something was happening, they'll walk to the side and go, hey, you didn't tell Mrs. Krabappel, did you?
Yeah.
I told her. Credits done. Oh shit, what happens next? What can I see? It felt like a series, bro. And it was done pretty well. I think for us fans watching at home, viewers watching at home, we were treated for that. But I'm sure the fans in the stadium, or the arena, sorry, didn't really understand what was happening until obviously they got home and saw the fatal phone. Like, wait, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
But I felt like it was great. It was great. The way it was done, it was great. Nick Aldis is a great GM, by the way.
So
great GM. And I feel like besides this whole Roman, you know, beef and everything, I feel like we're going to get to a point where Nick Aldis might have to step in the ring with Roman. Not no title match, but just a thing to say, you think you can step above me? Then, do you know what I mean? I think them both need to get into the ring together.
Yeah, man, sure. this was really good. I'm looking forward to a Roman Reigns fatal four-way match. This is something different from everything else he's done in this reign in terms of defenses. I mean, it leaves gaps for more shenanigans because it's a multi-man match. Mm-hmm. But it's just different from the, you know, singles matches that he has been having so far. Low Gone says Nick Aldis, best GM in a long time.
I agree.
Yeah, he's been really good. Oh, yeah, Dell says Joaquin was a star in TNA. Before he came to NXT. There's a lot of good reviews here. Be up, Kervin. He says AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns needs to happen soon. I mean, it just depends on, does Roman drop this title at WrestleMania or not? Yeah. Then there'll be space for these other matches, I think. Navy says, I love when Aldis little bro is Roman. Yeah, he's not going to get bullied.
Yep.
Jimmy says, imagine Roman hasn't had a multi-man title match since he stacked Edge and Bryan.
He has. He had the day one match, no?
What day one match?
Was it day one? No, sorry.
He wasn't in that match.
He wasn't that match. He was meant to be in that match, remember? It was meant to be Brock and Roman that they cancelled.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, this is his first multi-man match, which I don't mind because singles matches always feel more prestigious than these multi-man matches, but this one's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, they've done a good job with that. And I guess in terms of TV, we'll just close off with we got the reveal that we talked about last week. AOP have joined Karrion Kross in this faction, which it seems that they're going to call the Final Testament, which I think is a sick name. Sounds very sinister and stuff. I think it does sound a bit Judgment Day-ish. It's a bit too close to Judgment Day, but...
Do you know what it is? It does, but I feel like with AOP being involved, I feel like they're here to like beat people up. They're there to hurt people. So I feel like Judgment Day is more of like, oh, we're sneaky, we'll do whatever it takes to win. Or
Now they are. But when Judgment Day started, they were very kind of, they were similar.
Yeah. We just have to see how things go, man. I'm just excited. I'm excited that AOP and back in the house. They obviously they're part of the disciples of Seth. I think it's now time for Karrion Kross to now take this flame, this torch and just run of it and just use it. Like, even if it's a thing where he slightly tries to be like Roman, but not like Roman, in terms of his mannerism, in terms of no one could talk to me, I'm the best. Like, you guys do my dirty work. I'm just here to bring gold to the faction. He needs to be like that.
I think it is something similar like that, man. I think Triple H, you know, the guys in NXT, when Karrion Kross was in NXT, they were very good at hiding his deficiencies behind literally all the smoke and mirrors and this, that, and the other before, you know, Adam Cole delivered that promo, ripping him to shreds. Karrion Kross was well looked after, well protected in a sense. And I think this is literally it. We're finding other ways to basically hide his deficiencies, put, you know, big tag team around him and stuff like that. A good manager in Paul Ellering. He's got his missus there as well, Scarlett. Like, we're just dressing things up nicely so he looks the part. Like we said, as soon as Roman drops this belt, I feel like everyone's going to get title defenses. There'll be, you know, more opportunities in that main event scene. So we need to create people that look like, you know, at least they can challenge and we believe them. So I think one thing, Kervin says here in the chat, my question is Bobby Lashley's faction, are they babyface or heel? I think they came out and cut a very babyface promo to make themselves look like they're babyfaces.
I think it's impossible to make them heels at the moment because of the way fans are reacting to them. It's a bit weird. So I think they're better off just being faces.
And they're about to put Montez Ford and Bianca Belair's show on TV.
Yeah,
and he can't be some loving husband on TV, and then he's, you know, some madman on Monday Night on SmackDown. So they've pushed him into the face side of things. AOP and Karrion Kross are going to be the heels. They need to beat Bobby Lashley's team like ASAP. If they lose their first feud, it might be curtains for them, man. Still, Del says a discussion needs to be had about Montez. I agree.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
I definitely agree. Quickly, I did forget this, but we Lol Gon has said here, Mia Yim was impressive. Did you see that title match?
Yeah, that was great. That was very great. It was a great showing for her. Obviously, I knew that Mia Yim always had it, but it was good to see her do it on SmackDown as well. So it was a good match as well. Very fun.
Really good match. Great defense for Io Sky. I love the fact Damage Control never got involved. It just let Io Sky do her thing. It just trusted her. I'll always come back to this. I remember during the pandemic where Mia Yim got let go of WWE following Retribution and stuff. And she was on Twitch a lot them times and like maybe creating a YouTube channel or something. And she was doing like a little, like I think a 4-part documentary of her story in WWE. And it always kind of touched my heart that she referred to myself. Like she said something along the lines of, I know I'm never going to be champion. I know I'm never going to be women's champion or anything like that. I know I'm always just going to be a good hand, which is often a term that, you know, people don't like being called because it's like it puts you in a box, gives you a ceiling. And she said, I know I can wrestle. I know I'm good, but I know where I am on the card and that's fine. I just want to wrestle sort of thing. And I thought after this performance, even if it's a little push to, you know, get these opportunities, even on a pay-per-view would be nice. Even if she's not going to win, like... Don't aspire to be
a good. Be the main. Be the main. And that, and I feel that SmackDown performance really showed that she can hang with these people and she can actually one day be a champion. Like what Navy just said in the thing, the stars crash she dropped was brazy, fam.
Yeah, the one off the brazy, the top rope. Bro.
And like, you can even tell, like, I don't know, obviously, if you watch when she first, her entrance into the match and the camera cut to her, you could actually see that she was proper, like, not say that she was nervous,
emotional.
She was feeling it. She was like, yeah, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. She had that, she was sweating as well. She could tell that she's rich, she's pumped up, ready to go. Then as soon as the bell rang, it was time. She was great, man. Yeah. She was great. She needs to bring Keith Lee back to WWE, though. I can't lie.
man. The guy's not having a good time in AEW, man. Cool. So that's the main review of the show. Like we said last week, we got two more segments. The Q&A is coming. So if you've got any questions, put them in the chat.
Yeah, put them in chat now. Them.
Any questions or hot takes. But we're going to get to the section now, the throwback. And today, since we mentioned Jinder Mahal, one-time WWE champion, we're just going to give some of our favorite other one-time WWE champions. So anyone that's only won the title once, the top title once in their careers. And I guess this is more so the person than the run, because some of these people, their runs may have not been, amounted to much. My favorite one-time WWE champion, or in this case, it's Universal Champion, is Kevin Owens.
Mm.
When Kevin Owens won that title, in the circumstances, that was off the back of when Finn Balor, you know, bust his arm. They done the fatal four-way. Triple H screwed Seth Rollins and basically handed Owens the title on a plate. And then we got the really long, you know, protracted TV story of him and Chris Jericho, which is like the original Bro Chacho segments and stuff. And they were best friends. And that's when Chris Jericho was doing the list and all of that kind of stuff. I really felt like, you know, Kevin Owens was great. Obviously, they just ended it all with Goldberg and, it didn't pay off to nothing. But, Kevin Owens is probably my favorite one-time WWE champion. What about you?
I've got two, but the two that I've got basically links up with each other. The first one I'll say is Eddie Guerrero. Eddie Guerrero beating Brock Lesnar at No Way Out 2004. Listen, epic.
scenes,
bro. Of course, it's all interconnected. We had Brock and Lesnar clash each other at Royal Rumble backstage. Brock eliminates Goldberg. Goldberg is now plotting on the time to get at man in it. And after it's at No Way Out, I don't know why he got a ticket. Stone Cold himself gave Brock Lesnar gave Goldberg a ticket. Goldberg sat in front row where he could have sat backstage in gorilla position and had a better view with commentary. He sat in a front row and he came in. Gave Brock Lesnar the spear. Eddie Guerrero hit 1-2-3. Bro, a moment. If you watch that right now, you still get goosebumps. Following that, JBL.
JBL was brilliant. People don't like JBL's run. And it lasted a year, maybe too long. But
I think it was 200 good. And I'm just checking, do some research now. 280 days he was champion for. But JBL's run as a heel, even at the time I hated him, I look back at it now and said, listen, that was the best work he's done in WWE. Besides the Bradshaw stuff, which I liked when he was doing APA, but JBL as champion was a great heel. Great heel.
Mate,
I think even about... Go on.
Sorry, I was going to say, I will never forget ever in my life, JBL chasing away Mexicans at the border.
Mexicans at the border. Crazy.
I was a child when that happened and I will never forget that. Crazy stuff, man. I think those would be my three as well, to be honest, in maybe different orders. But yeah, Kevin Owens, just because I wanted it for him so much at that time. I really liked the way they done it off the back of that Fatal 4 way. Finn Balor would have been nice. There's nothing to say about Finn
injury,
Balor.
Injury.
Just hit with injury from day one. Just seeing Derek says in the chat, JBL is his.
Yeah.
Just a good shout. Jimmy said, did Jeff win only once?
Yes, he did.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
I don't remember him winning it more than once. Kofi, yeah, Dell mentions Kofi.
Kofi's run was great. Kofi's run was very good. I remember he had a match with Dolph Ziggler, Randy Orton. What else is it? I think even just him having a title himself, like the first Ghanaian title, really resonated with me on a personal level. But I remember his run being good. I can't remember all the other people he had matches with, but it was good. It was enjoyable.
Held the title for like 6 months. It was good stuff. It was good stuff. Cool. Any questions? Jump into the chat. So everyone's still talking about the
Eddie Brock Lesnar,
the one-time champions.
Yeah, guys, send us your questions.
Or give us your hot takes. Yeah. In the meantime, I answered. Jimmy says, I think the best one-time WWE title runs are JBL and Eddie. And as much as I understand credibility, I think the world title in 2023 should have had one-time runs. Yeah, I think they definitely should have got around a bit quicker. Like Seth Rollins shouldn't have held it for nearly 1 year at this point. I almost feel I thought this morning when I was watching this, because when Jinder came out, like Jinder and Seth Rollins faced each other to crown the inaugural NXT champion.
Oh yeah, yes. Yeah.
After a little tournament, they were the final, and Seth won. And I thought, Is Triple H on main roster basically rewriting NXT?
Of course.
Are we going to see Sami Zayn become champion? World champion? These other people?
It's the best way to do it, bro. Because look, see as this. NXT was a pilot. It was a pilot episode for Triple H. Triple H has now got the budget. They've now pumped money into his film. He's now going to go out there and deliver all these episodes. And I think he's right. Let's do it, man. Let's do it. Let's run. Obviously, Sami Zayn is champion's brazy. But anyone else?
We can probably get there.
I don't know, man. I don't know. But I don't know. Maybe as world heavyweight champion. But
yeah, I mean this secondary belt. Yeah, definitely. That's what I mean.
We got the questions coming in now.
I think even on, you know, if we're being honest with ourselves, a lot of the stuff we saw on NXT is rehashed. Ring of Honor stuff is rehashed indie stuff. So yeah, why not do it with a bigger budget, like you said. Derek says, what do you guys think about WWE AJPW relationship with Hunter being in the driving seat? Does this do away with WWE monopoly if they seem to now play ball with other companies? Do you want to see more partnerships?
I totally want to see more partnerships. AEW's partnership with New Japan for Forbidden Door is great. I love seeing that. So if WWE were to basically do something similar to that, where it's like a one-night show with NXT wrestlers and Impact wrestlers, no one will come and say, oh, no, we don't want to see that, because NXT deliver one of the best shows in the week. NXT and Impact wrestlers, bro, that would be epic, fam. The matches we could have on the card will be epic. WWE working with Stardom as well, that's been one of the discussions as well, that could be good as well. So I'm here for it, man. And I don't think it's WWE coming to try and take people away. I think they're coming on the vibe where it's like, let's collaborate, because that's what things are about. Collaboration, everyone makes money from each side, and no one's losing out on anything. So yes, it's I see more of a collaboration rather than it be like, I'm here to come and take monopoly. So
Jimmy says, who is your favorite NXT world champion and who is your favorite your least favorite NXT champion? So best, your most favorite and least favorite.
He's talking about Black and Gold. So I wasn't really out there for Black and Gold like that. But I don't know.
I'll be lying to myself if I say anyone else, but Adam Cole was my favorite.
See, I could end up
Adam Cole with Undisputed Era by his side. I don't think there was a better champion just booked in. You know, we've got good matches, you've got good stories, all of that kind of thing. My least favorite NXT champion. So I've got a couple names to throw into this, but it wasn't because it was bad. I would just say because the runs were too short and stuff. Drew McIntyre. he came back to the company, won the title pretty much immediately. I think it was because of injury he had to drop it. Another least favorite, I would probably say the same with Kevin Owens. He won it quickly off Sami Zayn, really didn't do much of anything before they thought this guy needs to go onto the main roster. And then he went up there as well. Another favorite of mine, if I go over to the women, Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler was terrific.
Oh, sorry, Shayna Baszler. Okay, I saw Shayna Baszler's run. Shayna Baszler was great. Shayna Baszler was a great champion. Bro. She had a match with Bianca Belair. That was sick as well. I forgot it was like a takeover.
That was the match there. The whole world thought Bianca Belair is going to ascend to the throne, and she just couldn't do it. Bianca Belair just could not win the title in NXT.
Yeah.
They've had really good time. I think an underrated one was, what's this guy's name again? Bobby Roode.
Oh, boy, I wasn't outside for that.
Bobby Roode had a really good NXT title run, just because of he was like the older statesman. NXT is like the younger guys or the indie guys, the guy that kind of broke through on the indies, where he hadn't been quite on an indie. TNA, I guess, is a bit bigger than the indie, and he was just a lot older than everyone else. He was good. And there was other good ones. I don't think I particularly liked any of Johnny Gargano's, but Andrade had a great run. Aleister Black had a great run. They done them lot well when they were champions down there and stuff. Last question. We'll take Navy's question that came in earlier. I saw a tweet that said you need to have a run in WWE to be considered an all-time great wrestler. I totally disagree. What do you guys think? That's false.
I disagree too.
Yeah.
And I feel like all-time great wrestler is basically, it's your opinion, isn't it? It's no one else's. Like I said, I could probably think that, AJ Styles is one of the best wrestlers of all time. He's better than everyone. It's my opinion. So I don't know about that one, man. Whoever said that, I don't know. Who said that? Find a tweet, report it, get the account deleted, bruv.
Yeah. WWE isn't the... Like, you don't get a certificate of being an all-time wrestler after a run in WWE. Like, you know, people have done that elsewhere. There's people like, you know, Okada that we'll always mention amongst the greats.
Kenny Omega.
These people don't need to come to WWE for validation of being an all-time great. People like me would love to them to come so we could say they've got like a full CV, they've been everywhere. But I'm not saying they need to come to be validated as, you know, a great wrestler. So... Yeah.
Okay, what validates being a great wrestler, all-time great wrestler, in your opinion?
I just think having...
In your opinion.
In my opinion, yeah. It's definitely impact, the impact of what you're doing, like, you know, Okada and how many main events he's done and just being the poster boy for a brand. You know, things like people starting new companies, having tremendous matches and stuff, having tremendous character as you're doing stuff for people that lean more towards the character stuff, being on the marquee, being a top name in whatever brand you were in. These are the things that, you know, can happen everywhere right now without you having to come to any one particular company to achieve that. So yeah, for me, those are some of the things that just make you an all-timer.
I agree. I don't know, I feel for me it's just like, when I see wrestling, I see wrestling as a whole package. Personality, character, matches, and maybe a bit of the title run. But I feel like the one that stands out the most is probably, as of age, I'm now growing up and now see things differently, is matches. The matches that they have, the matches that they've had, and even the ability of the wrestler. That's why I always look at Bret Hart as one of the best wrestlers of all time that I've experienced. Like, he there's no one like him. The way he moves in the ring... His athleticism, the way his wrestling mind as well. That whole pin that he does where he collapses himself on top of you. No one does that but Bret Hart. And how the hell would you think of that? But it's tactical. It's what you think. If both shoulders are up, both shoulders are down on the mat, it's a pin. And he does it. So, man, it's good. Someone's, Lord Gone has been writing Steph Stinks at least three times. I don't even know why. Do you not ask his question?
He likes Seth Rollins. Where's his question?
Did he have a question, bro? I like Steph, man.
I think he just wants us to read the statement. Seth Rollins as a face absolutely stinks in his career. He always has been his best when he's a heel. I would, you know, maybe 75% agree with that. I prefer Seth Rollins as a heel, but I wouldn't say his babyface runs stink. The issue is that his character as a babyface is I'm a workhorse. Mm. I wrestle. Ultimately, that's just your job description. Since when did your job description become who you are? Why is that your personality?
Yeah.
His character shouldn't be I'm a workhorse. That just should be an attribute of Seth Rollins. His whole character, he needs a character. I'm a workhorse isn't enough. And that's what his issue is when he's a babyface. All they rely on is the workhorse.
And I feel like with Seth here, I feel like Seth's run that he's having now, in a couple of years' time, we're going to look back and be like, this run was absolutely amazing. Simply for the fact of the matches he's had and the character and the stuff he's been giving us. But as for now, we want Seth to lose against certain people. Finn Balor, Shinsuke, even drop it to Damian Priest. That's why we're looking at Seth and be like, your title run's boring. Move on to the next person. Because we thought this title would be a thing where people are going to pass it around. But bro, Seth's run so far has been good. Let's be honest here, man. Let's not do it like that, man.
No, it has been. It has been. You just, like you're saying, don't overstay your welcome.
Yeah.
Leave us wanting more. Leave us wanting space for, Seth needs to win this back. Because right now, it's just like, let him lose it and let's just move on to some other people.
Yeah.
But yeah, big up everyone that joined us in the live chat today. If you haven't already, hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button if you're new to Rest Things as well. Like we say, the E... separate podcast. This will be available on the audio stuff as well, Spotify, Apple Music as well. So if you want to catch it there every week, but otherwise we'll be here live every Tuesday at 9 p.m. And next week, end of the week, you get your regular Rest Things podcast, Revolution Radio as well, all things AEW later this week. So you can tune in for that.
Yeah.
On the road to the Royal Rumble, boy.
Yes, we'll and also, guys, tickets. Go buy a ticket now, please. Of course. Do not wait for the day to come. It's a gated community. You can't get into this community unless you pay for a ticket. Please grab your tickets, please. No joke.
Royal Rumble watch party, that is, guys. Yeah, so get your tickets. Come and watch Royal Rumble with us down in Stoke Newington, London, on the night of Royal Rumble, yeah. Cool. We will see you guys next week.